Ramsey TV.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a lot depends on when you think the day of the Lord is? No, everything depends on when you think the day of the Lord is. Because that's the main thing. I don't want you to be deceived, Paul says to the Thessalonians, as if the day of the Lord is present. Yes, I know many people think the day of the Lord is the coming of the Lord. But does it say the coming of the Lord? It says the day of the Lord. A minor detail. No, that's a major detail. And it's my job to pick these things up. This is Martin Zender. Yeah, I have a little curl here coming down from my hair. You would think I would correct it, but I think it's kind of, I don't know. It's a little bit disturbing, a little bit cute. I can't figure out which, so I'm just going to leave it there and let you decide which it is. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to go all over the place today. I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 9 because that's the first place we see a reference to the man of lawlessness. This is important. I'm going to go to the concordant commentary of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but I don't agree with everything there. I'm going to show you what I disagree with, why I disagree with it, and why it has everything to do with the timing of this great event. And I want to assure you that the snatching away of the body of Christ will come before, I believe sincerely now, before the man of lawlessness, that is the Antichrist, goes into the false temple that will be erected in Jerusalem very soon and declares himself to be God. Certain things have to happen before that. As I told you yesterday, we have to get the order right here. Number one, the apostasy must come first. What's the apostasy? A little more details on that today. And the man of lawlessness unveiled. Many people argue about this, and rightly so. I can't stand this curl anymore. I got to get rid of this thing. It's kind of modified now. Yeah, there it is again. What is the unveiling of the man of lawlessness? It's hopeless. It's here to stay. What is the unveiling? Is it him coming into the public scene, even if only the elect know that he's there? Or is it when he goes into the temple to declare that he is God, called the abomination of desolation? That's a great question. Well, you know what? I think right away here, I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to show you the first reference in Scripture to the man of lawlessness. Because the first reference of anything in Scripture is important. I'm in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. The angel Gabriel is speaking to Daniel, giving him one of the most important prophecies in the Scripture concerning the times of Israel, the coming of Messiah, and the time of the end. Verse 25, Daniel 9. Now you should know and be intelligent from the going forth of the word to cause a return and to rebuild Jerusalem. From then until Messiah, the governor, is 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Now, I dealt with all of these complicated sevens in the Revelation series. Go to the Revelation series at the bottom of my homepage. Click on there. There's 800 shows, only 800 shows. Scroll down, scroll. You got to scroll a long ways because it's like 3.5 years worth of shows. And find the part about the 62 sevens. I could link you to it, but I want you to do a little work here because you might, as you're scrolling, you might happen upon an interesting title. I want you to watch the Revelation series, okay? So let's start this over again. Now, you should know and be intelligent from the going forth of the word to cause a return and to rebuild Jerusalem. This was after the Babylonian captivity. From then until Messiah the governor is 7 sevens and 62 sevens. That is 69 sevens of years. It shall return and will be rebuilt square and salient, even in the constraint of the times. Verse 26, after the 62 sevens, Messiah shall be cut off and there will be no adjudication for him. The city and the holy place shall be laid in ruins with the other governors coming. There it is. There it is. With the other governors coming. This is the man of lawlessness. Then its end is by an overflowing, and until the end of the war, desolations will be decided. That's a very complex statement. I don't want to get into it now. I covered it in the Revelation series. It's very complicated, I admit. Verse 27, then he, that is the other governor, will be master of a covenant with many for 1/7. At half of the sevens for 1/7. This is a 7-year covenant that the Antichrist will form with many. And I believe this to be the peace treaty with many nations in the Middle East, because Israel must have safety in order to build this false temple, in order for the man of lawlessness to eventually forsake the covenant and declare himself to be God, and then all the nations eventually turn against Israel. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. It's never fought. It's staged, but not fought. Then he will be the master of a covenant with many for 1/7. And if I tell you this, if Trump or Jared Kushner, if any one of these guys or anybody on this team that is making these peace deals, if I see or if you see a peace treaty that is for 7 years, and if it states, now it doesn't have to state it to be for 7 years. It will just, you know what? No. I think it actually will state it. It'll be a 7-year treaty. Will we know then? Will all of our spiritual instincts and all of our study be justified when we see that the peace treaty that ties it all together with all these nations in the Middle East that has already started? This is why I say that Donald Trump will win re-election when it's all said and done, because these peace treaties have to continue on. I believe this is the unveiling of the man of lawlessness, not when he goes into the temple. That might be the unveiling of him to the world. It's like, oh, that's the man of lawlessness. But we have the inside track. And we are aware of him earlier. And we're now looking for someone to cut this covenant for 7 years with many. But it will have to do with Israel, because Israel, of course, is the centerpiece of these days. It's a false Israel. That nation over there, it's false. But the land is holy. That is where the law will go forth from that land. But the people there that are there now have to be expelled. But they will welcome the man of lawlessness. They rejected the true Christ. They will accept the Antichrist, because that's what they do. This is guaranteed to happen. And they will dwell in safety for a little while, for half of that 7-year period of the covenant, and then all bets are off, and it will be laid waste. And the worst part of the tribulation begins. And the secret of lawlessness, which I'm going to get into today, God willing, will be off. And true lawlessness will be on. I'm going to tell you all about that. Hang on. Don't get excited. Well, do get excited, because I'm a little excited about this. Then he will be master of a covenant with many for 1/7. At half of the 7, he shall cause to cease the sacrifice and the approach present. On a wing of the sanctuary shall be desolating abominations. Until the conclusion of the era, the decided conclusion shall be poured forth on the desolation. I know this is crazy language, but remember, the scriptures cannot say that when Donald Trump gets reelected in the year of the Gregorian calendar 2021, I want you to look for, you can't say that, because then it'll be obvious, everybody will know it. The language is a bit of a puzzle, so that the people who want to understand will have to work at it, and they will have to work very hard to understand it. because it takes work to understand the eons, define the eons even, because the English Bibles are mistranslated. So don't be overly discouraged by this. I know it's a little bit discouraging. I understand that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, going to review now and then get into new territory. Now we are asking you, brethren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord and the assembling to him, the parousia, for the body of Christ, not coming to earth when we meet him in the air, our assembling to him, our. Paul's talking to the nations. He's talking to the body of Christ, our assembling to him, not Israel's assembling to him. Israel's not going to assemble to him until 75 days after he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives at the end of the tribulation. We're coming to him, assembling to him before the tribulation. Because these Thessalonians, as I said yesterday, were alarmed that the tribulation had already started. And Martin saying it doesn't say the tribulation, it says the day of the Lord. Don't be worried, don't be concerned, don't be alarmed at the day of the Lord. Why do you say the beginning of the tribulation? The day of the Lord is when he comes the second time. What? The day of the Lord is when he comes the second time? No. This is the main mistake that most expositors make when they see the day of the Lord. They figure, oh, the day of the Lord is the second coming of Christ. It's not. It's the beginning of the tribulation. This is key to understanding 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And for this, I'm going to go to the unveiling, chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. John speaking, I came to be in spirit in the Lord's day. There it is. There it is. I came to be. This is right at the beginning of the revelation of the unveiling of Jesus Christ to John on the island of Patmos. I came to be in spirit in the Lord's day. The day of the Lord, the Lord's day. Same thing. It's the same thing. The coat of Bill. Bill's coat. Are we talking about the same thing? Yes. We're just changing the subject and the object. I came to be in spirit in the Lord's day. Now we are asking you, brethren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to him, that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be alarmed, either through spirit or through word or through an epistle, as through us, as that the day of the Lord is present. These believers weren't so stupid as to think that Jesus Christ had somehow already landed on the Mount of Olives and he was already walking around on the earth at second coming. No, they were concerned that the tribulation had started because they were going through many trials. They were being persecuted for their faith. And Paul said, no, the tribulation has not started. Why? Because three things have to happen, as I said yesterday. The apostasy has to come first, the falling away, the from standing, apostasis, Greek word there, and the man of lawlessness has to be unveiled. And I believe the unveiling is to the intimates of God, to his friends. The unveiling is when he signs the peace treaty for 7 years. But before that happens, there's something called the detainer. So what's keeping the man of lawlessness from being unveiled? Paul says in verse 6, you're aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled. You're aware what is detaining him. There's so many theories as to what the detainer is. Some people think it's a who. Some people think the detainer is Jesus Christ, that the coming of Christ is what's detaining the man of lawlessness. That makes no sense whatsoever. Because Jesus Christ comes after the man of lawlessness has done his little I'm God thing in the false temple, and then Jesus Christ returns and destroys him. That comes afterwards. The detainer is not a who, it's a what. And it says right here in verse 6, and now you are aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled in his own era. For the secret of lawlessness is already operating. What's the secret of lawlessness? I promised you yesterday I was going to tell you what that was today, and here it is. The secret of lawlessness is that lawlessness is now disguised as righteousness. That's the secret. Lawlessness is now disguised as righteousness because Satan himself is disguised as a messenger of light, and his slaves, his minions, as servants of righteousness as posing as disciples of Christ. That's why the name of Christ will be on the deception. That's the secret of lawlessness. Hardly anybody knows that. They see the name of Christ and they figure, oh, that's got to be great, the name of Christ. No, they're tripping over the secret of lawlessness. But the secret of lawlessness will end when Satan is cast out of heaven and he comes down in a rage, and now the secret of lawlessness is over. This happens at the crisis of the seven-year period, the midpoint, 3.5 years into the seven-year tribulation. The man of lawlessness declares himself to be God. Now we have the indignation of God being poured out wholesale. God is no longer hiding himself. He's coming down, obviously wrecking things, and Satan himself is cast down from heaven. This is the crisis, man. Besides the crucifixion of Christ, this is a crisis of the eons, because this is the major shift between the evil eons, eon 1, 2, and 3, eons 1, 2, and 3, and the good eons, eons 4 and 5. Two things happen. The man of lawlessness goes into the temple, declares that he is God. Satan is cast out of heaven, and the wrath of God comes down upon humanity. It's a giant elbow in the ribs to say, I'm God. You thought I didn't exist? How do you like me now? That's the earth being wrecked. None of this can happen until the detainer is taken out of the way. You are aware, Paul says to the Thessalonians. Why? Because he told them personally. He says, don't you remember when I was with you, I told you these things? Verse 5. And now you are aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled. Him is the Antichrist. Some people think that him is Jesus Christ, for him to be unveiled in his own era. No, the him refers to the person he was just referring to, which is the man of lawlessness, who is unveiled, the son of destruction, who is opposing, lifting himself up over everyone termed a god, demonstrating that he himself is God. Do you not remember that still being with you, I told you these things, and now you are aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled in his own era. How in the world could this be talking about Christ? Christ is not unveiled at this time. The man of lawlessness is. Christ comes later. The man of lawlessness has to do his thing, his lawless thing, to set the stage for the return of Christ. So what is detaining the man of lawlessness? We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is detaining it. We are the ones who are heralding truth during this era of the secret of lawlessness. And we expose the error during the secret of lawlessness. Very few understand what the secret of lawlessness is. That lawlessness is now disguised behind a sheen of righteousness, behind a Hollywood wall of goodness and godliness. But it's Satan disguising himself as a messenger of light. We are the detainer. For when the present detainer may be coming out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one, whom the Lord will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth, will discard with the advent of his presence. See, the advent of his presence comes later to Israel. His presence to us comes early. It's mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 2. We are asking you, brethren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord and our assembling to him, not be quickly shaken. In that context, he's talking about his presence to us. Later, he's talking about his presence when he returns to destroy the man of lawlessness. He will discard him by the advent of his presence. The beginning of the career of the man of lawlessness will be attended by miracles, false miracles. The secret of lawlessness is still in operation at that time. But all bets are off when it becomes obvious. You see, the secret of lawlessness is over when Satan comes down, not as a roaring lion, but comes down directly to wreak havoc. There's no more secrets anymore. Everything's obvious at that point. You see, you have to be an initiate. You have to be an initiated one to understand God in these days. That's the secret of godliness, is that God hides himself. There's another secret Paul mentions in another place. The secret of godliness, God hides himself. And he's not obviously operating. He is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will, but it's not obvious. Likewise, what is truly lawless in this world is not obvious. It's a secret. Only few people know the secret, that the greatest lawlessness happens in church, not in strip clubs. Most people think, oh, the strip clubs are completely evil. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. The churches are completely evil, and few people understand that. It's called the secret of lawlessness. It goes hand in hand with the secret of godliness, that God is now hidden and His Spirit lives in us, and it's a secret presence that sustains us and causes us to do good in the world. Man, I got so much to say. My time, I can't believe where it goes. I have so much I wanted to do. Do I continue? Do I? I think I do. I don't know. No, I can't. I told you I was going to go to a concordant commentary. I was going to tell you where I disagree with A. Enoch. He's very good, and I'm going to explain that. I have to tell you why I think we are the detainer. We're the detainer. I'm going to give you evidence of that. I just don't tell you something without proving it to you. I think I suggested it yesterday. I'll go ahead and suggest it again today. I'll just give you a hint. It's in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are ambassadors of peace. It's also in Romans 11:25. 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 11:25, two verses that to me prove that we are the detainer. It does not say in the context who the detainer is. It's certainly not Christ. Because you are aware what detains him, not who detains him. What stops, what is keeping this lawlessness from going apeshit is our presence in the world. Do you want to feel important? You want to feel like you matter? The fact that you're on this earth is actually restraining the worst lawlessness from coming to fruition. We are restraining the secret of lawlessness from being abrogated and being replaced by obvious lawlessness. Our presence is keeping the secret of godliness from being God coming through the clouds and obviously wrecking things and people saying, oh, we're sorry that we dared you to show up. We're stopping all this from happening. We are detaining him. Paul says, you are aware because I was with you and I told you these things. And the fact that it's not obviously stated what it is tells me that we have to be unashamed workmen. And we have to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to go to the appropriate scriptures. And I'm going to do that. That's what I do. So for you, tomorrow, I'm gonna go to the concordant commentary. I'm going to show you what A. Enoch has to say about this passage. I'm going to show you the one place I disagree with him. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to show you that we're ambassadors of peace and why that's important. And then Romans 11:25, that God is not even going to pick up with Israel until we are off the stage.